Welcome to the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast. My name is Trevor Reddick, and we are back recapping another episode of The Bachelor. It is week 7, and of course, I have the man himself, who is not an Oscar-worthy actor, Brandon Siegel. How are you doing?
I would not put myself in that category at all. However, our third co-host, you know, maybe we could put him in the category. I tweeted today that we could put him in the category. He plays the single man perfectly in real life and on camera. It is Ben O'Brien. Ben, how are you doing?
You know, I like to say I feel like I'm a decent actor. I mean, I feel like I can give a performance when one is asked of me. By no means do I feel like I'm Oscar worthy. But hey, you never know. Give me a shot. Maybe I'll move out to Hollywood and we'll see what happens sometime soon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think your acting performances have been pretty good. Obviously, you know, we're referencing, you know, obviously when we were all interns, you know, at college, the good life. Unfortunately, none of us are any longer in college. Yeah.
And it's a sad reality.
You know, we don't get to throw out T-shirts to fans in stands. Don't get to, you know, drive around mini Jeeps and stuff. So. You know, yeah. It's unfortunate, but nevertheless, we do have a Bachelor episode to talk about, and I'm just going to be straight up honest here. This was a bad episode. It wasn't very good. We're going to keep it short, because I try to be an optimistic person. I just said that before we started. I try to be an optimistic person. I don't know if I can find one optimistic thing about this episode. You know, maybe Kit and her 5-year growth plan. We'll get to that near the end. But, you know, first of all, before this episode even started, in the past week, we've had a lot of drama, a lot of controversy, you know, with Rachel. Obviously, you know, if you follow The Bachelor religiously, you probably know some of the rumors, some of the stuff, some of the mistakes she's made. And also, you probably know a little bit about, like, the Chris Harrison interview that circulated. It appears that he is stepping aside for a little while. He won't be it after the final rose, so we'll see what happens with that. I think he's going to be back for The Bachelorette. We'll see. And honestly, I'm really looking forward to The Bachelorette because I'm hoping that we get a very special person who wasn't in this episode. That's actually one of the biggest reasons why this was a bad episode, because Katie, the star of the season, was not in the episode. So I just think that's important to mention. But nevertheless, you know, hopefully, you know, Rachel came out, made an apology. Chris made an apology. You know, it is what it is. There's a lot of mistakes that were made, but hopefully, with these apologies, you know, we can move forward and hopefully everyone will become, you know, learn from their mistakes and move forward. So with that being said, the first thing that we got in this episode was Heather, who is from Colton season. Obviously, we saw her to leave off last week's episode. She's making an entrance. We're like 2/3 of the way finished with the season. And Heather is coming in like 60 to 70% in the season. Very strange. We have never seen a person come in this late, right? So we got her coming in. She kind of comes in when Matt's on his sit-down conversation with Piper, interrupts her. We then see kind of Piper go in and tell all the girls. She's clearly upset. She's frustrated. So Brandon, I'm going to go to you on this. We got a little bit more Mean Girls here. It wasn't completely finished yet, so I want to hear some thoughts from you on this.
Yeah, so I got a lot of thoughts on this. As you both know, I've talked to you many times about this. This season has not been a good season. I think we would all agree on that. And it's been a bad season for many reasons. One of the big ones is we are now on our third cycle of girls bullying or being really mean, if you don't want to use the bully word. But I would use it, bullying other girls on the season. I mean, we see relentless attacks. There are some women who have not said some stuff and who maybe you're not a part of that, whether they sit there and do nothing or, you know, there's been rumors that, you know, when the Sarah stuff happened that Bree and Rachel went up to Sarah and, you know, talked to her and were very nice. But we've seen a lot of these girls this season just be bullies. And, I mean, we saw these girls just relentlessly berate Heather in an incredibly malicious way. It's just not enjoyable to watch. I mean, this is the third cycle of this with Sarah, then the new girls, and now with Heather. It's just not an enjoyable thing to watch. I don't like watching it. I'm glad it didn't take the whole episode. I had a feeling it would take quite a while. And ultimately, I think this lands on production. Production put Heather in a horrible situation. They have rewarded the bullying this season, which obviously the girls did not know while it was happening. But, I mean, every single bullying session we've seen, instead of the normal drama we get where it's kind of, you know, these little fights, it's just relentless bullying. You know, all these girls ganging up on other girls. We didn't have Katie to save the day and to stand up for what's right. And Jessenia was on the wrong side, as we saw this time. So it's just not a good look for the show as a whole, for production. And most of these women, frankly, are, in my opinion, just not nice people. And I think they've shown that. Now, that is not all of them in any sense. You know, we've seen a lot of these women, not only, like, we saw Katie stand up, but we haven't seen Bree or Abigail or Serena P. Honestly, all the women that are left, plus Abigail, bully anyone on the season. So, you know, that can, you guys can take that for whatever you'd like to take it for. In my opinion, this has just been a reflection of how this season is, and it just hasn't been a great one because of it.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, you and I agree, Brandon. I think there's just, and we've talked about this already. We were texting about it during the episode. Just like, I think the minor disagreement we have is that just like, I think, you know, these people, it's very understandable, and I do know you agree with that. That it's very understandable for them to be frustrated.
Yeah. 100%.
But I think
it's reasonable.
I think at the end of the day, I think this was more of a, like, yes, I get, like, making the bully argument. I think because the fact that there's, like, five or six of them versus one, I do understand it, but I didn't really see it as that malicious. I thought it was definitely, they made mistakes. It was very unnecessary, and they shouldn't have done it, obviously. And I think they'll, at the end of the day, they'll learn from it. They'll know, hey, we shouldn't have said that. It was very stupid. And I think they probably recognize that once they watched it back tonight. So, you know, I think that's all I would have to say.
I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah.
I think like the big thing is that, you know, these girls are not, their motive is not wrong. They rightfully, I would be upset too. It's just they're getting upset at the people who don't have anything to do with it. The new girls didn't want to come in 2 weeks late. Heather quarantined for 3 weeks or whatever it was. I mean, it's not like that was a split-second decision. She's like, all right, I'm just going to go hop over and see if Matt likes me. So I think, I mean, just their anger was all directed, and it just came out on that one person. And, I mean, it's at the end of the day, in my opinion, that they bullied these women. They did. And I think it was redirected anger where it should have been put somewhere else, whether it was at production or whoever. And it was wrong, but I agree with you. I think at the end of the day, they'll come back and they'll be like, hey, I messed up, and that wasn't right.
Yeah. So then we do get Heather. I mean, she's having a conversation with Matt, and Matt does send her home shortly after. I wasn't too surprised by this. I thought, like, maybe she'd make, like, it out of, like, one rose ceremony, maybe one episode extra. But, you know, I wasn't too surprised about this. Ben, what did you think about this? You know, early impressions of this episode with Heather, the interactions with her and the women. And also, were you surprised that Matt sent her home here right away?
So, I mean, this whole Heather thing, it's been interesting because, and again, we talked about it last week where I don't know the motive behind it. I don't know if this was a production thing or if Heather really did fly across the country last second. Nobody knew she was coming, whatever. But it's just, it wasn't a fair situation for Heather. It wasn't a fair situation for the girls. It wasn't a fair situation for Matt because I don't really know what the right thing for Matt to do in that scenario is. I mean, you have this girl that flew across the country and just wants a chance, and she's, you know, she's claiming that one of Matt's best friends said that they're perfect for each other. Like, is there a right thing to do in that point? Like, do you stay loyal to the girls that you've known or you've been there for over a month at that point that, like he said, he's falling in love with? Or do you, you know, trust somebody in Hannah Brown that knows you better than maybe anyone else or better than most people do? And do you give Heather a chance? And I don't know if there's necessarily a right thing to do. I think ultimately he probably did the best thing to do for his sake on this show and for, you know, the show as a whole in respect to the rest of the girls. But I understand Matt's dilemma in that situation. It seemed like it was hard for him because I'm sure part of him wanted to give Heather a chance because somebody like Hannah Brown recommended it. And Heather, you know, made this effort and she took 4 or 5 COVID tests. She had to quarantine. She went through, I mean, she put forth a lot of effort to get to that situation. I understand Matt being hesitant to just send her home. But at the same time, like I said, I understand the decision that he did to send her home because he's known these other 10 girls for way longer. He's spent way more time. He's put a lot more effort into these girls, and it wouldn't be fair to those girls if one of them had to go home at Heather's cost. So It was an interesting scenario. And again, I wrote down that I don't know if there necessarily is the right answer. I think he did probably the best thing, or I should say the thing that was in the best interest of the show as a whole and the best interest of those girls. But I can understand Matt's dilemma, and I understand, you know, the hard decision that he clearly had to make with Heather coming, because it's not an easy one. And I understand and I can see him making a decision either way.
Yeah, I mean, she put so much effort. She even balanced the pizza box on her head. I mean, I don't know if any of the other girls could have done that. I mean, I think that takes talent, you know?
It takes a lot. I couldn't do it. It takes a lot of talent.
Yeah, so Heather goes home. Then we get the rose ceremony. Chelsea and Serena P would be leaving in this rose ceremony.
Serena C.
Serena C, correct. Thank you for that.
There's a big difference.
Big difference, for sure.
Big difference.
Big difference. Yeah, so in the...
One of them's nice, one of them sucks, so...
Yeah, so in this episode alone, we actually lost 7 girls, correct? We went from 11 to 4.
Yeah, 7. Technically 11, yeah.
Yeah, technically 11 with Heather. So we went from 11 to 4, so a lot of eliminations in this episode. We got 3 so far. Next up, we got Serena P's one-on-one. Now, a big storyline here... I think even before we get to the Serena P aspect is that Abigail just hasn't gotten a one-on-one. We see a few confessionals even before this about, man, I just want more time with Matt. And it's very understandable. I mean, she got the first impression rose at the very beginning. And since then, we really haven't seen her have a lot of conversations with Matt. Like, we've gotten a couple, like, little 20-second snippets where they're, like, talking here and there. But they really haven't gotten a lot of time. You know, it ends at the end of the day, she never gets a one-on-one because she's going to end up being sent home. And, you know, this was really unfortunate because, you know, Abigail goes to Matt, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen in this conversation. I didn't feel good about her chances of getting to the Final Four at this point, but... You know, I was hoping that she would be like, Matt, like, why haven't I gotten a one-on-one? I was wanting Abigail to be a little more aggressive. I was like, come on, Abigail, like, push him, like, pressure him. Like, why haven't I gotten more time? Like, give me a one-on-one. And, you know, Abigail, I think, is just too nice for that. She went into the usual, like, I really could see myself with you. And then, unfortunately, that just makes what comes next even worse. Matt kind of breaking her heart and sending her home. And, you know, it just really sucked, obviously. We all like Abigail, you know, just as we all like Katie. So this one sucked for sure. She does get sent home. And, you know, at the end of the day, I hope to see Abigail back, hopefully, on Bachelor in Paradise. Hopefully, you know, she gets a lot of screen time there because, you know, we were all looking for more screen time from her. Ben, I'm going to go to you on this one. Obviously, I know you were a little frustrated about this. What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because I feel like Matt didn't give Abigail a fair shot. And I understand, I mean, this isn't fair. Like, it's not fair. You have to prove that you're right for this person, and it's 30-something girls for one dude. I mean, I get it. Like, it's not supposed to be fair. That's not how it is. But I just didn't like Matt's explanation when, you know, Abigail sits down and Abigail basically goes, yo, what's the deal? Like, I thought we had this great connection. I got the first rose. And Matt basically says, I mean, I agree with you. We had an awesome connection night one. And because of that, I felt like we didn't need a one-on-one because I felt comfortable with where we were. And then he goes, you know, but what happened is other people had one-on-ones and I grew stronger feelings for them instead of you. So at that point, it's just frustrating as a fan watching because I don't know what Abigail was supposed to do. I mean, she made the most of the time that she had. It's not her fault that she got sent home early on 2 group dates because they do the stupid thing where they send half the girls home. It's not her fault she didn't get picked for a one-on-one. And part of that, like you said, Trevor, and I'm glad you said this, is her personality is she's just not the type of person to really stand up for herself like that and be assertive. And maybe that just means it just wasn't her show. She's not right for a show like this because you kind of have to be bold and you have to make yourself stand out. And Abigail, I think, had a hard time doing that. So yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, we've seen 2 weeks in a row, we've seen one of, if not, you know, the favorite person on the season go home. We saw Katie go home last week. People weren't happy about that. We saw Abigail go home this week. People weren't happy about that. So I really can't remember a time, not recently, where you had, you know, back-to-back episodes like that where, it's brutal. You see those girls go home because people loved Katie and people loved Abigail. So it's just interesting. And I really, it's crazy. I mean, for weeks now I've been saying how I couldn't see Abigail not making it to hometowns. I really thought at the very least she'd go to Final Four. But even entering this episode, and she said this was really the first time she was nervous, and I was kind of nervous too, because you could kind of start to see, like, with the other girls, I mean, left, I was looking at comparing her to, oh, I don't think she's, you know, I don't think she's going to win over Brie. I don't think she's going to win over Rachel. There's so many girls that I'm like, I don't see her going or getting past them. So ultimately, I feel like once the episode started, you kind of saw it coming, but it is frustrating. I mean, people loved Abigail, and like you said, Trevor, I think she'd be perfect for Paradise, because Paradise, you can kind of be yourself, because there's so, it's not, you know, not competing for one person. There's a bunch of different people there. I really do think she would thrive on a show like Paradise, and I think people would love to see her. So hopefully this is not the last that we've seen of Abigail.
Yeah, I think so too. I could see it potentially even being similar to, like, and I know you guys haven't always watched Paradise, but like when Hannah G from Colton season went on Paradise, it's like everyone wanted to go on a date with Hannah G. I could see that potentially happening with Abigail. But before this, we did get the Serena P one-on-one. And, you know, this one, I don't really love the yoga date. Serena P didn't either. You know, it wasn't her cup of tea, clearly. And she mentioned that. And just consistently, like, every time I see Serena P on screen, she's just awesome. I think she's great. She has a great personality. She's very outgoing. She's very, like, sweet. So that's really my takeaway, is just that I like Serena P, and I hope that she's also, if she doesn't win, she's in the final four, she still has a shot, which a little surprising to me. But, you know, if she doesn't win, also would like to see her on Paradise. Brandon, any thoughts on Serena P and that one-on-one?
Just one final thought, and it's that from their last one-on-one, and I still believe this, they just don't have a spark there. I just don't feel the connection between them at all. I don't see her winning. I just don't.
Yeah, you know,
Brennan, and I'll say this real quickly, Trevor, not to interrupt you, but I thought the same thing, and even, like, when the first time she had a one-on-one, which was, like, episode two or whatever, I said, she's awesome, but I just can't see her winning.
Yeah.
And I still don't feel like there's a spark there, but for whatever reason, it seems like Matt thinks there is, and Matt seems to really like her. So as much as I don't feel like, you know, like, she's going to win, and I feel like there's other people that he would choose over her, from what I've seen from Matt, it makes it seem like she has somewhat of a decent chance of winning. Again, I'm not saying she's going to win, but I think she has a better chance than we all thought she did, maybe even a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
I still just don't see it. Especially out of the four that are remaining, I think we got to think about who left today. I mean, frankly, pretty much all of them were worse than her. I mean, obviously Abigail wasn't, but all of them were worse than her. I think we just have had a lot of bad women on this season, and that's why she's kind of, it's not that she's bad at all, because Serena P's awesome. It's just they don't, I think, have that spark. I mean, her relationship's not as good as hers and Rachel's, or hers and Bree's, and honestly, you could argue hers and Michelle's too. So that's just my opinion on the topic.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned the thing about, like, they were in the friend zone. Like, I think the start of the date, he was like, oh, we were in the friend zone or something. And I was like, yeah, that's what I think too. And I kind of still think it. But nevertheless, she is in the final four, so it's got to mean they have some kind of connection. But anyways, then we get to the group date. That's what's next. Although, we didn't actually see the day portion. We just got the night portion where they're just having sit-down conversations. I believe this is where Abigail got sent home. I went out of order, but nevertheless, we got that. You know, we got a conversation with Bree, with Rachel. I like Bree's in particular. I like, you know, kind of some of the things she talked about. But then Matt just kind of gave his, like, typical, like, oh, I that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with me. And, you know, that whole thing. But then,
can't believe you'd go through that.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. I can't imagine. But anyway, then we get to the part that really was my favorite part, which was Kit. When Kit sits down and tells him about how, like, her 5-year growth plan, or that's what Matt called it. I don't know if Kit was calling it that. That's what Matt called it, and that's what I remembered. But Kit mentioned how, like, which I really like, by the way, how she was saying, like, you know, I got to get through school, and I want to travel, and I want to really, you know, I'm really focused on, like, my career. It's you know, my passion. And you know, I don't really see myself having family and kids quite as soon as some of the other girls. Like, maybe I'll have kids around, like 25. And I don't know. I just found it funny, I guess. And honestly, like, that might be the best part of the episode, because everything else was bad. Like, that's why I'm mentioning it. If we had a standard really good episode, I probably wouldn't even mention that, but I thought it was a standout because I just found it funny. I don't know. Brandon, did you have any thoughts on that?
Not a lot to add to Kit's stuff. I think you kind of covered it. It is interesting that the youngest girl on the season, which she was a big bully on the season too. I don't think she's that great of a person.
Nah. I Listen, I think people make a couple comments. She did. She was mean at certain points.
She made more than a couple.
She made a couple.
She wasn't.
I think
she was one of the original four.
I don't think so.
She made a lot of comments, I think. I would say Kit at the end, the way she left was very mature. It is not how a 21-year-old acts, typically. I am 22, and I probably wouldn't act that mature in that situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right. Enough from the peanut gallery here. I don't need all that. But I think the point being is that Kit, you know, she just kind of realized that, hey, it's just not it. And that's okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I think it was graceful how that portion she left it.
Yeah, I like that she went out home on her own terms, came to that door. And at that point, I knew she was probably going to go home, whether, you know, it seemed like that's what was going to happen. So then we get to the Jesenia one-on-one, which we didn't get a lot of from this date. But we did get they were drifting, which I just enjoyed just because the Fast and the Furious franchise is my favorite movie franchise ever, just from that standpoint. And Ben, I knew you at least liked it a little bit too from that standpoint. So you have any takeaways from this date?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, Jesenia getting a one-on-one over Abigail, I wasn't happy about that. But at this point, Abigail's she's gone, so it is what it is. I mean, again, I don't want to critique production because I understand they're limited, and I've been saying this all year, they're limited on what they can do. So I really don't think it was a terrible date. It was cool. I mean, I love Fast and Furious 2, Trevor, so my first thought was like, awesome, they're taking one of the best Fast and Furious movies in Tokyo Drift, and they're mixing it with The Bachelor. I'm cool with it. But I just, again, I think it was a good date for Jesenia because, like, I don't really know what else she brings to the table, so just throwing her in a car and, like, you don't really have to talk to her that much. I can understand why that would be the case because, I really don't think you know, her and Matt have a great connection. I really – if you would have told me 3 weeks ago that she's going to get a one-on-one, I would have told you you're lying. I really didn't think that she would ever get a one-on-one because she kind of just seemed like, you know, one of those girls that goes home between, you know, 15 and 8, somewhere in that range. So, you know, I think – for the fact that it's Jesenia, she doesn't really add a whole lot to the table in terms of actual chance of winning the show. It was a fine date. I think, you know, they did the best with what they had.
Yeah, I kind of felt like this might have been a little bit out of her comfort zone because she was a pageant girl and she just seems like getting like dirty or like anything that's more of like a, you know, I don't know. Yeah, like what I said, getting dirty might be out of her comfort zone, but she seemed to have a fun time and I at least enjoyed them kind of drifting around. But then we did get the second rose ceremony, two rose ceremonies in one episode, and Piper was sent home. Now, I have consistently liked Piper throughout the season. I think she's been very fun. It seemed to me like their connection was growing, but, you know, she doesn't make it to the final four. So we have our final four set. It is Bree, Michelle, Rachel, and Serena P, which, you know, I was pretty close. I did not expect Serena P to be in the final four, though. Brandon, what about you? Would Serena P be the biggest surprise for you as far as the final four goes?
I think at this point, I forget what I exactly, maybe you guys can tell me. I thought I said I thought it would be Bree, Abigail, Rachel, and Michelle. This was a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. You guys can correct me if I was wrong, but I think that's what I predicted. So I would say Serena P would be the surprise. And I think it just boils down to the rest of the women weren't good. And Abigail, I don't know why you sent Abigail home. That's crazy. But I think Serena P's gotten here without having this just, like, fabulous connection with him. So I would imagine she's going to be the next one to go.
Yeah, I think so, too. Again, I just think it's a little more of, like, it's a little bit more of a friend relationship to me. I don't know. That's a vibe I get. But That was pretty much it, you know. There was a decent amount of stuff that happened, but it just wasn't a lot of positive stuff that happened. Ben, is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap it up?
Yeah, so, I mean, lastly, I'll comment on this Final Four, too, because I agree with Brandon. I think if anybody, I probably would have switched out Serena P for Abigail a couple weeks ago if you would have asked me. And, again, I think Serena P, I agree with you guys, I think she's probably the fourth option on that totem pole, if you will, just because...
At least right now.
Yeah, as of right now, from what we've seen, yeah. And even though she's had two one-on-ones, I mean, clearly, Rachel's the only person he said I love you to. Clearly, he likes Bree a lot. And Michelle, they had that awesome connection on their first date or whatever, but I don't know, Serena P has surprised me a little bit being in the Final Four. But I really do think, I don't know who's going to win. And I feel like a lot of times at this point, even by Final Four, it's kind of like, all right, I have a pretty good idea of who's going to win. And I do think if I had to pick, I think Rachel's probably the favorite for that, for the reason I just said, where he's really, it's the only person he said I love you to at this point. But I do think Bree has an awesome chance of winning. I think he has a really good connection with Bree. And clearly, like I said, he's for whatever reason, even though we don't see it, clearly he sees something with Serena P. So I do think it's going to be an interesting Final Four because I really don't know who's going to win. And again, I could make a guess who's going to win, but I really, like, I would not be surprised if really any of them won. Again, like, Serena P would probably be my last pick, but even if Serena P won, I could somewhat understand why she would win. So I do think we're going to have an interesting couple of weeks coming up because anything could happen, and that's not abnormal. Every year we always say that, you know, anything can happen. We don't know what's going to happen. But I really do think anything can happen in these last couple of weeks. I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So I think we'll wrap it up there for this episode of the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast. We, of course, will be back next Monday. It'll come out Tuesday at noon for the next episode of The Bachelor. We'll recap that episode. So, of course, subscribe. Leave that 5-star review if you enjoyed the podcast. Link in the description will be to Twitter, at The Small Ball, where you can follow us, you know, when all of our podcasts go live. Of course, we have The Small Ball podcast that comes out Sundays at 4 p.m., where we go over the past week in sports with, of course, the three of us. So stay tuned for that one, and we will have a 12th World podcast coming to you very, very soon. So thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.